Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you on another beautiful day. I guess it's going to be a hot one. Is that what they're telling us? And we're going to finish up our little sermon series that we started a couple weeks ago entitled Making Time for God. And the last couple weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be available for God to use us. I don't want that one. Do I have any slides, do you think? Maybe so. About being available. Being available for God to work through us for the person that God places in front of us. And we heard, read the first week the story of the Good Samaritan, and we saw how that Samaritan was available for the person that God placed in his path at that time, at that moment. And we saw that it was risky for that guy. He risked his life by stopping and aiding that person who had been left beaten and almost dead. People thought he was crazy. You can only imagine. We talked about the differences in the hard feelings there were between the Jews and the Samaritans. We saw that the Good Samaritan had to use some of his resources in order to meet the needs of the person that God placed in front of him. Then last week we had another story about being available for God when we're called to just sit and listen. Be still and listen. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find being still harder than the doing part. But there is a time to be available for God when we need to sit, be still, and listen to Him, learn from Him, be in relationship with Him. So we saw that being available looks different. Doesn't always have to look the same. We looked at the epidemic, this epidemic that's sweeping the nation that we call overload. An overload we defined as when our load, our responsibilities, our day-to-day activities, our obligations, our work, going to school, whatever that might be, exceeds our limits. We are physically, emotionally, mentally limited on design, on purpose, by God. God created us in His image with limits. Limits are good. Limits protect us. They benefit us. And limits also help us to remember what? That we are not in control. That we are not God. That God is the one that sustains the universe. That it's not up to us. I introduced you to a gentleman named Dr. Richard Swenson, who, through his medical practice, saw people coming in burned out, fatigued, full of depression, anxiety, people in debt, all because of overload. And he looked for a cure. And he came up with a term to define that cure as margin. And we've talked about this as well. You know that little space on the side of the paper that lets you write in your notes or put in something extra that you may have forgotten? That's what margin is, space between our load and our limits. It's our contingency fund. It's our reserve that we have. It helps us then respond to, be available to, God, when He calls on us. Last week, I got to share a story with you. One of the, I'm not going to use names or anything, but a woman here in our Zion family came to me and she said, "Oh, Tina, our family experienced some margin last Sunday. Sunday was a busy day and we had this and this and this to do and we were going to do this at night and we just thought, you know, we just need to stay home. Just, we've been on the go all weekend. Let's just stay home." Well, they were at home and a nephew and his friend stopped by. Now, this was a family member, a nephew, who they don't usually see other than, you know, the Christmas, the Easter, the Thanksgiving gathering of the time. So they have, you know, little conversation, but when you're in a big group, it's often difficult to share. Well, this nephew and his friend stopped by, and he just opened up and just share, life, what was going on. My friend said she had never heard him talk so much. Well, then they invited their nephew and his friend to stay for dinner. And she said, we really connected in a way that through even our family gatherings over the years, we had never had the opportunity to. She said, we had margin because we stayed home. We didn't go to the next thing. We didn't try to squeeze one more activity into an already very hectic day. And she liked it. I thought, whoopee, somebody got what I was talking about. That's all I need. One person, I feel like God's doing good. feel like I'm on the right track. But anyways, that story just reminds me of the need to slow down, the need to take some rest, the need to remove ourselves from the busyness and the hectic pace of life. That's what we're going to talk about today, the need for rest. How many of you are, you don't have to answer this, but do you remember back on Sundays in my family growing up? Sundays, you know, we did the family, we went to church, and then we came home, and my mom would make a big meal. And we would get out grandma's linens. We had linen tablecloths. I grew up in a family that was, I guess you'd call it rather formal. Maybe I've shared with this, but we had so much fun at our meal times. My dad served us every night. The plates were always in front of my dad. He served and then, got passed. So our meal was a slow time. And Sunday afternoon, you know, my oldest brother had his girlfriend would come over and she'd be there for dinner. And, I wonder to this day how my mom ever did it, you know. And it was the big meal with the roast and the potatoes and all that kind of thing. But I remember that, those Sundays, as I've been preparing and thinking about this sermon series, that Sunday really was a day to step back from the hurry and the busyness of life. And I do believe we've lost that. Stores are open. Just pretty much, I think, what's the only thing that's closed now on Sundays? Is it still the car dealerships? And that's about it. Almost everything else is still in operation, just as it is the other 6 days a week. Well, I don't think it's good for us to continue and continue and continue at the pace that we do during our work week, so to speak. So today we're going to talk, like I said, about rest. And where better to start than in Genesis, once again, where we began our sermon series, in the creation story. So what I want to do is take a look at that and chapter 2 and see what God has to say about the rest we needed. First of all, it's a little different. The rest that we're going to be talking about today isn't quite like this. This is my Sunday afternoon. I don't know, anybody else do this? You know, I get home Sunday afternoon. I got a recliner on our porch, and I get the newspaper after I've had lunch. I don't make it into the metro section, and I'm out. I think there's something, you know, when you lever back in a recliner, that you get in that position, and it just sends up sleeping drugs. Just makes you sleep. Well, you know, sleep is good, and I need to do that, but that's not the kind of rest that we're talking about today. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 1 and go through 3. So if you have your bulletin, pull it out. I want you to, or your pew Bible, I want you to listen and watch for certain words. Because this is what God has to tell us about rest. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So everything's done. God's been on a creation spree. He's got everything done. He finished that. We're going to see by the next sentence, by the seventh day, God had finished, completed the work he had been doing. The work, the busyness of our lives. Work is good. We were meant to be caretakers of creation. I'm not saying that work is not good. Work is good. He was finished. And on the seventh day, it says, he rested from all his work. Now, this rested is not the kind like in the recliner. This rested means to cease, to stop. He hit the pause button. What he was doing for 6 days, he stopped doing. He rested. And then what did he do? And God blessed the seventh day. Do you remember what blessed means? This is my definition of blessing. Blessed it's a receipt of, it's a gift from, an unmerited gift of something from God. So he blesses this day, and he made it holy. Remember what holy means? He sets it apart. He makes it different from the other 6 days of the week. Why, Genesis tells us then, because on it, on that seventh day, God rested. He ceased. He stopped from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, did God need to take a nap? No. He's God, you know? But he was able to stop what he had been doing. Now, I want you to take a look. Well, you don't have your Bibles. If you have your Bible, you'll see this. What did God on the sixth day create? Do you remember? You and me, right? Humanity? So we're created on the sixth day. What do we do the first day out of the chute? We rest. We aren't doing anything. We're not working. And I think that day is meant to prepare ourselves so that we will be available to what God brings us during the next 6 days. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think we've lost some of that, that working 6 days a week and then taking a day to stop, to cease, to have that day look different from the other days. You know, we work 5 days a week at such a hectic pace, and then the other 2 days a week, we're working basically at the same pace, only we're doing something around the house or the yard or with family responsibilities. We're still under that same pressure. And when I think that we lose this rhythm of working our 6 days and stopping on the seventh, we kind of mess up the internal wiring in which God created us. Think about that. Think about those weeks when you are so busy that it all just blurs together. And then when something unexpected does pop up, that maybe God does place a need or a person or wants you to sit and listen, hear it? Can you even see it? Can you even understand it? You're on this roll. You're being so busy, so busy. Well, Scripture talks a lot about resting. And on this seventh day in Exodus, then, we are told that God tells us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And this word Sabbath and the word rest in Hebrew from the language of the Old Testament come from the same root. And what that Sabbath means is to, again, to cease, to desist, to stop, pause, to what? To rest. So in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, Moses tells us, and this is part of this covenant agreement. This is one of the big Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is just part of the covenant that God enters into with us at Sinai. And this covenant that God enters into with us is a covenant that is to reflect our relationship with God and with each other. So God tells us, remember the Sabbath day. How do we do it? By keeping it holy, by setting it apart. Remember the day that we're supposed to cease, desist, stop, pause, rest. Set it apart. And when we remember something, it's in Jewish thought, it's way different than you and I just remembering. When I remember something, I recall it. You know, oh yeah, I remember my 21st birthday. You know. But in Jewish thought, when you remember, I want you to think of a little dash in between re-member. You actually are joining and being a part of it right now, today. So when we remember the Sabbath on June 24th, 2012, it's like we were there on the seventh day of creation. We are a part of that. We are resting. I think that's a beautiful thing. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. This is an important day to God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. So nobody's going to work. Your cows aren't going to work. your servants aren't going to work, your wife's not going to work, your husband's not going to work, your kids aren't going to work. For, and here's the reason, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested, he ceased on the seventh day. And because of that, we start with the next word, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He made it a special day to connect with him, a special day to stop with whatever it is that we do during the rest of the week, and to focus ourselves back onto God's intent for our lives. For why are we here? What are we doing? Just slow down and listen. Now, the word Sabbath is really important. In the Old Testament, it's mentioned over 100 times. And in the New Testament, over 60 times. It's an important word. God's Sabbath is cease, desist, stop, pause. And I think there's another reason God wants us to stop doing what we're doing 6 days a week. It's because God wants us to learn to trust him. You know, it's not really up to me to keep the universe or the earth spinning on its axis. I think it will do that without my help. And it's really not, you know, we get so busy with what we're doing, and it is important stuff, but sometimes then, because of the hurriedness of it, we place ourselves in the driver's seat rather than remembering who really is in control. God wants us to trust him. He wants us to be in relationship, of course, with him, and to trust him, to stop, slow down from the busyness, the hurriedness of life. There's two themes to the word Sabbath, or in the Sabbath scripture references we're looking at today. The first one we just read is a creation theme. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and it tells about God creating everything in the 6 days, and then he rested. So we have this creation theme. Think about a day of stopping, of ceasing, of resting, and focusing on what God has done through the creation in which we find ourselves. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. The second theme is one of liberation or freedom. And it's found in a second reference to keeping the Sabbath that comes along in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. And it's in verses 12 through 15. Now the book of Deuteronomy, we have to remember what the purpose of that book was for, right? It's kind of like the second giving of the law. It's Moses giving the farewell speech and reminding the Israelites what's going to happen, where they're going, and how they're to live. Moses is reminding the Israelites, God made a covenant with you at Sinai. A covenant that explained who God was, what he had done for you. He had rescued you from slavery out of Egypt. You're now free. Now here's how I want you to live. And your living, your lifestyle, that behavior that the Ten Commandments talk about is to reflect our relationship with God. And it's supposed to set us apart from all the other Canaanites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the other ites that live in the Promised Land. We, as followers of God, and we're going to see in the New Testament, followers of Jesus, our life is supposed to look differently than our neighbors. Our behavior is supposed to be different. Our observances are everything is supposed to be different. Chapter 5, verse 12 starts out with, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does the word observe mean? Honor that day. We observe what? Memorial Day. And what is that in honor of? In honor of our vets, correct? 4th of July, we honor that day for what happened in the past. Yeah, honor the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you don't. Again, we have this creation theme, but in verse 15 now, we're told, remember, here comes the freedom or liberation theme that we get on our Sabbath rest. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, because of what God has done in creation and what God has done in freeing us from slavery, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe, to honor, to keep the Sabbath day. This day of ceasing, desisting, resting, pausing, what we do the other days. He tells us that. And you say, okay, those themes are really great, but I'm not in slavery right now. The Egyptians have no power over me, right? Over us. Yes, but we still are. Jesus tells us we're in bondage to sin, and the wages of sin are death, and we're in bondage to the evil that roams this earth freely now. What does that look like? Here's what resting, here's what ceasing, here's what stopping, what we do for 6 days of the week, and then the seventh, what can we be freed from? Well, multitasking. And you'd say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, I hate to say this, guys, but we women multitask all the time. While we're taking the laundry upstairs to put away, we're already thinking about what needs to be done on our way back down the stairs. Multitasking is watching a ball game on Sunday, having your computer in front of you, and looking up your stock portfolio for the day. That's multitasking. Stop one of those. Stop them. Do one thing at a time. Now, freedom from, you say, well, I'm not in bondage to all these things. Well, no, maybe it's just one thing. Maybe you're in bondage to technology. And I love technology. I love to be able to have instant access to my family and friends, and it's great here at work. But do you know that we have now lost, and when I say we, I mean our culture, there is no boundary between what happens at work and what happens in our private life, because the connection that we have through the internet, through tweeting, through Facebook, through text messaging, through answering machines, bridges that boundary and has erased it. We take our work home. We bring home to work due to our technology. The media, oh my heavens. You know, the media is this feeding frenzy that just tells us everything that we really need to have, everything that we need but we don't, and we want it and we can't get it, and it just makes us crazy. Or maybe it's shopping, and I know, guys, this may not be yours, but maybe we wait till that day that we are taking that break, we're ceasing from what we do those other days, and we go shopping. And you say, well, nobody does that. My name is Tina, and I shop. And when Laura left for college the first year, that Sunday, I didn't know what to do with myself. I went to the mall, and I just got sucked in, and oh, I want this, I need that, and I'd come home with bags. Then I just dig myself deeper into problems, and then on Monday or Tuesday, I have to take those bags back, you know? Yeah, I didn't need to be doing that. Stay away. Don't shop. Shopping just brings us down. Competition. Oh, we don't have any competition on Sunday, do we? No football games, no basketball, no video games, no anything that we're trying to win at. Go, 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 go. You may not realize, sitting there watching those things, or even being involved in those things, speeds your pace up, takes away the time that God wants you to have to rest. And then maybe Sunday, Sabbath rather, and I'm not going to get hung up. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Jesus didn't get hung up on which day it was. It can be, you know, Jewish tradition, they observe the Sabbath from sundown on Friday to sundown Saturday. Christians, we observe the Sabbath on the seventh day because it was originally referred to as the Lord's Day, because what happened on this day after Jesus' death? He resurrected. So we have it on this day. I'm not going to get hung up on that. I'm also not going to get hung up on what is work. Well, mowing the lawn is work. Well, you know what? For somebody, that may be the most relaxing and mind-numbing and task that they love to do. Jesus didn't get hung up on what work was. In fact, the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, often got into a disagreement with him about what was work. You know, he healed on the Sabbath. He picked grain in order to eat on the Sabbath. And that's not what he was talking about when he said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. We're not going to get hung up in the legalism of it. One great definition that I could really understand about what might constituted work and what didn't, it said that on your Sabbath day, on your day of rest, don't do anything that would show up on your to-do list. That I can understand. If any of you are a list keeper, don't do anything that's on that to-do list. So we get freedom from these things, and we have freedom to. We are given the freedom to rest, to cease from work, whatever that looks like for you, to slow down, to stop what you're doing the other 5 days. And two, we get freedom too on this day when we're able to slow down, to cut off the busyness, to remember. And again, I want you to think of the remembering yourself, to connecting to. How do we remember who God is and what he's done for us? We come to worship. We read scripture. We pray. We join ourselves to what God has done and is doing. That day of slowness, that day of ceasing, allows us to release whatever it may be that's keeping you from your relationship with God and from with others. Maybe you suffer from money anxiety disorder, and Sunday is your day that you balance the checkbook and you get it down to that half cent or the exact cent. And if you can't, you never get up until that checkbook is balanced, and you get yourself so worked up, so anxious, so riled that there's no time to rest and remember. Release that. Don't balance the checkbook on Sunday. Do it another time. And then I think a really important thing that we're allowed to, this freedom that we get when we do rest, is to refocus. Refocus our life. Take a look at what it is that God wants us to do, who God wants us to be, who God wants us to be available to. Scripture tells us, this book tells us what is most important to God, and it should be to us. And the Browns mentioned it. It's relationships. And if we're too busy, if we're running our weeks so and packing them so full of good stuff, how are we going to have the time to have that relationship with God and with each other? Refocus. Do you have that extra time? Have you got margin in your life where you can stop? Where you can cease doing what it is so that you're available to God for the unexpected, for the person he perhaps places in your path at that moment, at that time and place, or perhaps to sit, be still and listen. We need to cease. We've been wired to rest. To rest so that we can remember, we can release, and we can refocus. As I wrap this up, I want you to think about the story I told you about the family in our congregation where my girlfriend told me about their nephew coming to visit. Had they filled their day to the brim, and we often think that, you know, if we don't have every minute accounted for, all these different things, we live in this accomplishment-based world, that we're of no value. Had they had every moment of their day filled, they would not have been available to their nephew, to their family member, when God brought them, him and his friend, into their home. They would not have been able to connect. They would not have been able to share that gift of hospitality. I hope that these last 3 weeks that you've been able to see that God wants us to rest so that we can be available for him when he calls. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.